If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Every dollar I spend on myself as far as a coach or education, I know I'm getting way more than 10x results.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Today's guest, Brent Bowers, is an investor and coach with a focus on buying and selling vacant land. As an Army officer with over 8 years of service, Brent was spending a great deal of time away from his family, and he knew he needed to make some changes in order to be more present with his wife and children. Brent began investing in real estate as a way to support his family while having more time to spend with them. In a short period of time, he was able to expand his business, hire a team, and most importantly, spend quality time with his family while still working hard and helping others. Brent now helps other investors learn the ins and outs of buying land. Hey, Brent, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Sam. It's good to be on How to Scale Commercial Real Estate.
Man, it's a pleasure to interview you. I know you live in sunny Colorado, and we are just thrilled to have you on today. I guess if you can just give us a brief overview of where you started in real estate, where you are now, how you got there, and we'll just load up with questions along the way. So the floor is yours.
All right. Well, stop me anytime because I get a little carried away. And first of all, just the fact that I'm on camera, my mom always told me I had a face for radio. So this is a little new to me. So I'm going to try and bear with it. But where I started in real estate, graduated high school 2004, always wanted to be a real estate rock star. And I didn't know why. I just knew everybody that was somebody was in real estate. So here I am, bought my first house in 2007. It quickly turned into a rental. And I went through the school of hard knocks with that. I rented it out to the guys that paid the most, didn't always have the best credit. Went through three trashes, never had to act. Well, actually had to evict one time, and went through all that. And then you know what happened in 2008, which was craziness. And I ended up joining the military in 2009 to go back to school and change my life. Because what was I doing? I was like in real estate. I just got my real estate license in 2007 as well. And then I always just had a burning passion. Like I need to get back into real estate. You know, I was deployed a couple of times with the military in Germany. So that kind of put things on a hold. I didn't know anything about virtual investing. So fast forward to 2013. I'm back in the States, back in Florida, and start investing, start wholesaling houses, actually, and buying rentals at the same time. And, you know, that was going okay. It was really tedious, lots of competition. I hired a coach because I wanted to scale this thing. I didn't want to just, you know, haphazardly do deals. And I also wanted to get out of the military. That 8.5 years was a lot. I was gone half the time. So I started wholesaling houses. And then I remember my coach telling me, don't even do anything with the vacant land. So I would throw away the vacant land parcels, basically, because I was mailing the tax delinquent lists and other lists. And then one day I heard some guy talking about what he was doing with tax liens on land. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to mail this land stuff. So I sent the postcard that I was sending the houses to the vacant land, the guy's tax delinquent land, and come to find out it was actually county held tax delinquent. So this land sucks so bad that tax investors, the guys that buy the tax liens, weren't even buying these things. My phone absolutely exploded. It never rang like that on houses. So I went out, ended up buying some of these lots, and the rest is history. We've pretty much scaled the whole land thing. I know I just shot a lot at you there.
No. So that gives us a great picture. You showed us where you started and where you are now. If you can really break down, and it sounded like you kind of told us a little bit about hiring a mentor and things like that, but they told you not to do what you are doing now.
I'm one of those guys, you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it, but I'm also going to try something else as well, because we got to see both sides of things.
Right. So I would love to hear how the land investment, like how do you make money on it? Like I can go out and buy an acre of land right now that produces zero income. And I've got nothing more than a negative sign in my bank account and an acre of land. So
that's why I love land. Everybody thinks that. Everyone is passing the deals that I'm snatching up because they're running to those stinky cat pee houses or buying those apartment complexes that need in D or C and B areas. I am taking all those land deals and we're just gobbling them up at massive, massive discounts. We're helping the sellers because they don't want it anymore. And then we're turning around and making it affordable to the masses by offering seller financing. You know, Ford F-150, one of the best-selling trucks in America. I think I took that from their commercial, actually. They do not discount those trucks, but they make it easily affordable for the masses. You go in the Ford, you're leaving with a vehicle, hopefully, right. Unless your credit score is like 300 or something. You know, that's a thing. But that's what we do with our land. I buy it at massive discounts and turn around and seller finance it. So let's talk about, how the heck do we do that? So I mail the first postcard to these people and my phone blows up. I didn't even return all those phone calls, by the way, but I ended up buying two parcels almost simultaneously. And I just want to kind of share a quick story of the first two. They were both non-buildable parcels of land. So not only is how the heck can I make money with this land because there's no house on it, no one's going to rent it from me, and you can't even build on it. Like, how do you make money from something like that? So the first seller I met, he told me about this parcel of land. He had traded it like many, many years ago for some tax work. He was a CPA. So he traded this piece of land for back payments that he was owed on taxes. So I go and look at this land and I am just fascinated by how beautiful this land is. But the reason why it's not buildable is because there's only one ingress and egress. The firefighters cannot go in there to put out a fire. They could get pinned down, basically. So they had to build another road across the railroad tracks. So long story short, I get this property under contract for $285. Wow. $285. It's actually two buildable lots side by side. And I had no clue what it was worth. No clue. So me and my wife went and looked at it. It was about an hour away from our house. We're coming back and I see a real estate office about a mile down the road. And I call this real estate office and it's a Saturday. And thank God a realtor answers. So I was like, hey, I got this piece of land. I'm thinking about buying it. I told her the road it was on. She knew exactly what I was talking about. She said, yeah. And she explained to me why it wasn't buildable. I said, okay, here's the thing. How fast can I sell this? Or what price would it need to be to sell this thing in like 30 days? I need to sell it fast because, I was broke. And this is right around 2016 timeframe. I was spending basically grocery money. We had just had a brand new baby. So I could not have $285 locked up in a piece of land. I know that sounds pathetic, but that's me. That was me.
Hey, man, that's honesty. And that was just 4 years ago.
Yeah, not too long ago. So I was a broke joke 4 years ago as an Army officer, by the way, which is we were just spending money like too much. You know,
sure.
The check rolls in every month. We were spending it as fast as it would roll in. So this realtor says, yeah, we could probably put it on the MLS for about $10,000 and sell it in about 30 days. And I was like, you're kidding me, right? And she goes, no, maybe give or take, 45, maybe 50 days. And I was like, okay. So I hung up with her and I'm talking to my wife. She's like, she said $10,000. And she calls back. I was like, wow, she's a good real estate agent. So she goes, hey, would you be interested in selling this parcel of land to me? And I was thinking, this is too good to be true.
Right.
So I was like,
right.
Sure, absolutely. And I said, well, what are you offering? Because you want to get them to give you the price first. And she said, I could probably do $5,000. And I didn't say anything for a second because I was like sinking in. And then I said, well, when could you close? She goes, probably next Wednesday. So me being the great negotiator I am, I said, okay, let's do it.
Oh, geez.
So she actually sent me the contract the next day. I think it was a Sunday. She sent me the contract. I signed it. I called the seller of the land. I said, let's meet on Tuesday. I've got your money. He gave me a quick claim deed at the coffee shop right next to Fort Carson, Colorado. I owe that coffee shop a lot of money because I've done a lot of business outside because they would be closed by the time I would get there. So I'm just sitting outside on their tables. But long story short, I gave this guy his $285 on a Tuesday and got my check on a Wednesday. So that was my first land deal. And I didn't believe it was true at this point. So I got another one for $500 this time. And I remember the lady, she's like, I don't know what you want with this godforsaken property. Because her husband was a stockbroker. He bought it like 20 years ago.
Right.
I said, I don't know either. I sold it for a total of $5,000. I got $500 down. So I got my money back right out right off the bat.
Achieve an infinite return, basically.
And then held the financing for like 9 months.
Right.
So those are my first two within a few weeks of each other. So now, you know, fast forward a few years, we've just scaled that. You know, we buy on a large basis. So we built two machines, a buying machine and a selling machine.
Gotcha.
So that's really my business in a nutshell. We try and collect monthly payments.
Online. Right. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I mean, that's the passive income story with a completely different twist. So good for you for accidentally figuring that out. I think that's so many of our story where it's like, oh, oops, I just made money. How did that happen? So good for you. What are some key lessons other than just like stumbling blindly into dumb luck money? Like what are some key lessons you've learned along the way or strategies that you now use? Yeah.
Well, in the beginning, before I hired a coach, I ended up hiring a coach to one-on-one coach me on land, like the strategies and the systems that they have.
Right.
Because I'm always trying to learn from others and improve and scale. And, you know, the book Scaling Up is one of the, like the kind of, I don't want to compare it to the Bible, but it's like the Bible for our business,
sure,
basically. So key pitfalls, I could tell you one story. I found a piece of land, you know, I used to offer like half of the assessed value, which was crazy. We can't get that right now because there's such a demand for land with this COVID going on. People are wanting to get out of the city, but I used to offer half the assessed value. So there was one property, they had assessed it at like, $30,000 for the market, and then the assessed value was I think $6,000. So I offered $3,000 and they accepted it. So I didn't even go look at the land. I drove to the people's house, which was like an hour away. So I get done with my army job and race out there. They lived in the middle of nowhere too. So I went and gave them a $3,100 check. They gave me a quit claim deed, which I didn't understand the whole quit claim and warranty deed back then, or special warranty deed. I finally had to educate myself. But one is education, but the pitfall is buying land without looking at it or doing any due diligence. They had gotten it on a tax deed sale. So they gave me a treasurer's deed, basically. So the title was clouded.
Sure.
And it was actually a huge gaping crater in the ground that the county said was worth like $33,000. I think I'm getting a smoking hot deal at $3,000. So I thought I was paying 10 cents on the dollar, but long story short, I ended up selling it for exactly what I had into it from some guy that was going to build a huge house on stilts. So it worked out, didn't lose money, but it was a big learning experience. Several things I had to learn with one transaction.
Right. Always do your due diligence, no matter how good it sounds. It seems that that's the lesson you learned there. Now, when you guys have scaled up, like what systems have you implemented? I know you said you have a buy side as well as, I think you said, a disposition or a sell side of your company. Is that right?
Yeah. Let's talk about systems because, you know, I'm not a super tech guy. You know, they always talk about automation and delegation. You know, being a military officer, that's all we were taught was to delegate everything.
Right.
So I went from enlisted to officer. I used to get underneath the Humvees with my guys when I was an officer, and I had an NCO pull me out. It's like, listen, sir, you can't be doing that anymore. So I had to learn how to delegate in the military. So I started delegating things like scrubbing my list, you know, figuring out the name, the address, the property location, and then making sure that mail gets out. If I found that if I'm in charge of it and I'm in charge of actually physically doing it, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So I would put people in place to do that. So that's my systems. You know, I've got a guy in place that makes sure the mail goes out every single day. Mm. You know, we pick new areas and then he evaluates what they're worth and then comes up with the offer price. And then once we get something, you know, once that letter goes to someone that's ready, willing, and able to sell, they call in. And then they talk to my acquisition manager and she gets it under contract. She follows up, does all these things. And once she locks it up, then we send it to due diligence and title work and title search and all that. And then once we finally buy it, it goes to my virtual assistant in the Philippines. And she posts it on all of our mediums, which some of our mediums are Carrot.com. You know, we're on all the land sales sites like Land of America, Land Watch, all those. Love the Carrot site, by the way. Can't say enough good things about it because if they come to my site, I now own them. Like they're going to see me forever on Instagram and Facebook and retargeting ads and pixels and all of that. Because most people don't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I want to buy land and then go and buy it on a website. No, we're going to stay in front of them for years until they finally make that decision. The next system is, you know, we've got to have someone to sell that land to them, someone to write the contract, because we're not just transferring a deed, we're doing a contract for deed or a land contract. So once they pay the agreed amount, we transfer the deed to them and now they're happy landowners. And then we need some way to service these notes and these loans. So bookkeeper, QuickBooks, you know, pulling their ACH right out of their bank account each month. We're not collecting checks.
Sure.
You know, the money's coming right into our account each month.
Right.
So those are my systems. I wish I could say it's like a three-step process. Really it is, you know, buy, market, sell type
thing. Sure.
So there's my three-step process.
No, that's awesome. And how often do these deals go from beginning all the way to finished without you ever touching it?
So in the beginning, when I only had a couple parcels of land, it was just me and I would try and buy and sell within 30 days.
Sure.
Get money coming in. Now we're continuously buying. So some of those properties, they get kind of put, you know, on the back burner, like, hey, we got to schedule photography. We got to do this. So on average, I would say around 2.5 months from the time we buy a parcel of land to the time we get a down payment, the dock fee.
Gotcha.
Now, lately, we actually sold so much property so fast, we didn't increase the ramp up on the buy side fast enough. So we had actually got someone a contract that we just pre-sold to buyers. So, I mean, it's anywhere from, you know, before we even purchase it, we've got money coming in for this parcel of land or, you know, within a couple months. Now,
right.
If we have a property too long, there's a problem. We're probably asking too much for it.
Gotcha. To reiterate or maybe clarify the question, which an awesome answer, but a little clarification, like, is your hand in the process at all, or have you set it up such that at this point you guys could literally buy and sell an asset and you would never even know the name or the address?
No, I still see the stuff we're buying. My land sales specialist is in the next room.
Gotcha.
So she tells me all the time, hey, I just sold this one. I just sold that one. So a lot of updates. And then we have a weekly call where I look at myself as like the motivator a lot of times, like, have you tried this or tried that?
Sure.
So I'm not touching anything physically,
right.
But I'm still in it. I like it. So I don't want to be completely out of it. But most of the time they're just telling me what happens.
Right. And that's beautiful. I mean, that's a golden nugget. You want to be the guy that they're reporting to. Hey, this is what's happening. I do have a very nuts and bolts question, which is, how are you guys setting pricing? Like, how have you turned that over to somebody? Like, as far as the buy price? Because it sounds like you guys are making offers without your eyeball seeing it, without you really
all
being involved.
Long.
Yeah, all day long. So what's your algorithm for that?
So I'd like to say I have a special algorithm, but it's a gentleman sitting in Pakistan. We tell him the area. And how do we figure that area? We ask Helen next door, hey, what are our buyers asking for? She tells me El Paso County, Colorado. I say, where exactly? She says, Peyton. So Saeed, Saeed's in Pakistan. Saeed on the Tuesday call, let's look at Peyton, Colorado. So he goes in, figures out what the land's going for, like how much per acre. Let's just use a quick example. If it's $1,000 an acre,
right?
The retail price now, that's on
sure.
Zillow, Redfin, Realtor.com, and all the land sites. We know the retail price is $1,000 an acre. So we're going to offer somewhere around 10, 20, 30 cents on the dollar. So
sure.
We're going to be offering around maybe 400, depending on how hot that area is. We're going to judge it by mailers. Like if we send out a certain amount and we haven't got a call or an accepted offer, what does that tell me? I got to go up a little bit on price. So
right.
We keep inching it up. We try and see how low we can get it. So Saeed's doing that. I'd like to say it's an algorithm, but he's a pretty smart dude, probably a little smarter than I am on numbers. But that's how we figure it out.
Man, that's awesome. You guys in a few short years have gone from, what was you say, it was $245? Or is it 285? What was your first
one? The first one was 285.
Right.
And I think the second one was 500. Yeah.
So you've gone from sweating bullets over, oh crap, I've got to figure out a way to get my $285 back, to buying land, you know, virtually as much as you can get your hands on.
Yeah, that's about where it's at. You know, we just picked up, which is really cool. We've kind of tapped into the gold mine because there's guys out there that lock up like big parcels.
Sure.
We bought like 117 in Arizona. I just talked to a guy this morning. He's got like 65 properties. I kind of weeded out the ones like I don't like those areas because
right.
We have stuff in there or we know. But I was like, I just basically asked him, what would you take for all 40 of those? You know, so he's a friend of mine actually, but you know, there's guys out there who will sell us bulk packages now too, and we don't even have to mail. So we'll pause our mailing for a little while, which is probably not the best idea, because that mailing literally gets us home runs. So, but I like to, you know, when we need land, I can't have my land specialist not making money because she's commissioned.
Right.
So I want to keep her always fed as well.
Right. And just, and again, you know, figuring out those systems for, you know, keeping your staff motivated, like making your land salesperson commission based.
Oh, like, if they're unhappy, I know about it.
I got nothing to sell, Brent. Like, come on, we need some more stuff in the door.
Yeah, I don't come to the office that week.
Somehow I doubt that's not true. Hey, we got to jump into the final four questions here. So investing in bigger assets, and you know, if you were to distill everything you know and had to give only one piece of advice to an aspiring investor, what would it be?
Oh, one piece of advice is get a coach on something you want to do, whether it be investing in apartment complexes, investing in land, investing in houses, wholesaling. I have probably four coaches right now.
That's a great piece of advice. Investing in yourself, what's one thing you do to stay on top of your game?
Coaches. I'm always investing in coaches. Yeah, every dollar I spend on myself as far as a coach or education, I know I'm getting way more than 10x results.
Right. That's awesome. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
I love the Underground Operation Railroad. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but it was like a guy that got out of the FBI. They pretty much started an organization where they go in and rescue children that are enslaved for sex trafficking, kidnapped. We have a huge problem in America. Don't quote me on this number, but I think in the first like 5 months of Colorado, we had like 80 children go missing. That's one state in the United States. Where are they going? Like, they're not going somewhere nice. So that's one organization that I want to see get a lot of traction. I know Tony Robbins is a huge contributor to them. He funds a lot of their stuff. And then some other friends of mine. But that's one of our organizations that we'd love to give to.
That's awesome. How can people learn more about you and get in touch with you?
So I just started coaching guys how to do this June 1st, almost 6 months ago now. And we got students having success. If you want to talk to me, if you can get on a phone call, I'd love to help you out. Go to thelandsharks.com and I'll spell it out for those guys that listen to this on 2X. That's thelandsharks.com, landsharks.com.
Right. So plural on the sharks. That's super helpful. Brent, you've been awesome. Thanks for sharing with us your wisdom. Certainly appreciate it and look forward to connecting here again soon.
Thanks so much, Sam. I appreciate it. How to Scale Commercial Real Estate.
Thanks, sir. Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.